Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Las Vegas, the Windy City, is that right?
Yes, the City of Angels.
City of Angels, yeah. That's why they call it Las Angeles. Ooh.
Ooh, the Seamy States.
We fucked it up already,
guys. The Seamy States. Welcome to Las Vegas.
I think it's Show Me, not
Nevada.
See Me.
Nevada. See Me State, Show Me State, Do Me State, Rock Me State. I don't. I'll
those
take
could,
either one
those
of them.
Could all be in Nevada, yeah.
I think so. We are here for the biggest fight of the year. Well, because it's January. It's January. Nailed it. Boom. Bango. We got John Anik with us.
That was kind of a dad joke, wasn't it?
Was it? We got John Anik with us. Say hello to the
what
people,
a, what
John.
An absolute honor to be back with you boys, you know? I mean, I know it takes a Conor McGregor fight to get you as close to Nevada. So.
Well, I mean, you're not here all the time.
No, but 6 or 7 times a year. But no, we got to get you guys on the road consistently with this Drinking Bros podcast.
Well, we actually are pretty much. I mean, during the fall, we go to, what, every 2 weeks we're at the biggest event?
Yeah, whatever the biggest football game is. We usually try to pair it up, like do a college and an NFL game the same weekend.
We call it a bang bang in the biz.
That's what the restaurant bang bang is.
Yeah,
right
showbiz.
Oh, yeah. You got to bang bang it, dude.
You do the Chinese food and then you eat the Mexican, like
bang
right
bang.
After, yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Then you're still hungry half an hour later.
Yeah.
Goddamn right. I'm already pre dreaming about Guy Fieri's fucking trash can nachos.
I think that's
not a sponsor.
I think that's because you had 60 vodkas on the way. here. Well, I'm playing this afternoon.
I am who I am, Dan. Yeah. You know,
I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying.
There's... It actually smelled pretty good when I walked in here tonight, Rob.
Yeah. I smell great. You look great.
Hey, thanks,
you were calling the fight Saturday nights. You and Mr. Joe Rogan gonna get wet on Saturday nights with McGregor. He's one of our faves.
Yeah.
You're one of our faves. Thank you for coming back on the show. One thing that struck me a little differently about this particular fight was the buildup in the press conference.
Right.
McGregor's not talking shit. And I'm not used to it. I don't know what's going on, what's happening, or if he's just that locked in and focused. But it seems odd so far.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would voice that opinion and share that opinion. I think there are a lot of different factors and layers to it. I would start with the fact that this fight only got finalized 5 weeks ago. So there wasn't some exhaustive promotional tour. There was not anything really up until the press conference we had here during fight week on Wednesday. So it's not like he had all these opportunities to talk a bunch of shit. And I think that helps build, and maybe you have more than one or two stare downs, and so maybe some animosity builds a little bit. But at the end of the day, for Conor McGregor, this is probably very liberating to not have to, you know, talk a bunch of shit, to have just such a respect for your opponent that he doesn't give you a whole lot of ammunition, a lot of angles to attack verbally.
Yeah, I mean, you don't hear a whole lot of people talking shit about Cowboy Cerrone anyways.
Yeah. But don't you guys feel like, I feel like no matter what Conor says, even in a respectful setting, and I could be off on this, but I just enjoy hearing the guy talk, right? Because he's not, nothing's pre-rehearsed. He just shoots from the hip.
Same. Look, he's one of my favorite entertainers in the world. And I'll say entertainer because to me, he's more than just a UFC fighter.
Yeah, right? Being a good fighter is not enough.
No, not
anymore.
I mean,
it's enough to win, but like, look, even Khabib's biggest, the people's biggest gripe against him, I think, for a long time was he was boring and whatever the fuck. Like he would sit there at the press conferences and not talk shit. Well, people got a dose of how not boring he is when he jumped out of the goddamn cage, right?
Which was awesome.
Yeah, that was fucking great. I don't give a shit about the suspension. Fuck all that. I think that was good theater, and that's what all this is anyways, right?
Of course. Well, Conor McGregor gets people to Vegas, right? I mean, this gate's gonna just be absurd on Saturday night.
Oh, so, I'm sure. Yeah. Do you get dope ass tickets for this shit?
How does that work for you? Two tickets in my contract, so yeah. I wouldn't call them dope ass like Bruce Buffer floor seats yet. But I'm starting year 9 with the UFC, so hopefully by year 19 we'll get some octagon side seats. But no, they take good care of me. And
we have a ticket guy who's always on the show,
right?
Benny, the ticket guru, Benny Daniel. Yeah. Give him a shout out.
Why don't you shout out his actual company?
So I will. tickets2allnow.com. Go there right now. Look, I can have friends too and not their shit.
That's showbiz, baby.
Yeah, that's showbiz, baby. I'm friends with Ron Jeremy. I'm not going to talk about his dick, you know? Also, he's got an 11-inch hammer.
Joe Rogan did a good bit on him back in the day, by the way. He was like, if you're thinking about trying to suck your own dick, it's probably not worth it.
No, it's not fun.
And here's why. He knows Ron Jeremy as well, and he's like, Ron, can you still suck your own dick? And he goes, no. And he's like, why not? He goes, gut got in the way.
Yeah.
So he could suck his own dick, but sandwiches were better. That's what Joe said.
I believe that.
It's true.
Just don't break your back out there, kids. No,
don't. So where are your tickets at?
It depends, right? So if I have family in town, I think they'll be located differently. But my seats, more often than not, they can see me, right? So they can see, in theory, if it's my family or friends, they can see me and see the broadcast table. And they also have a great octagon vantage point, right? Because most people, if you're really looking to watch the fights, see, I'd rather be on the floor just hobnobbing and just watching everything that's going on.
Yeah.
A 15-minute decision, there's a lot to look at. I'd rather sit on the floor than be a level up and have a perfect picturesque view of the octagon. So sorry to my family, you're not on the floor.
Same. So your family doesn't get to sit on the floor?
No. I mean, maybe we can affect change here on this podcast. Dan was telling me before the show I need to increase my American profile a little bit. Big internationally, not so much here in the 50 states.
It's weird. It's for at least, I don't know what the number is, and I don't know if you even know, but for at least 50 major pay-per-view events with UFC now, you've been co-lead with Joe or somebody else.
And yes, sir.
You've been sitting next to one of the most famous people in the world, calling one of the most watched sports in the world, and the country that watches it more than anybody in the world, and still people don't know who you are sometimes. It's very bizarre to me.
Well, and I'm okay with it, believe you me, right? I mean, I enjoy the anonymity, and when I go to Australia, obviously it's a little bit of a different beast walking down the street. But in Australia, this is huge, right? Yeah. Like, we'll be sitting at the airport, and women are coming up to us and saying, oh, I haven't seen the post-fight press conference yet. And it's like, I don't even watch the post-fight press conference necessarily. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People's, they just ingest everything we do, so they see us a lot. But I think we're making a lot of strides domestically. And again, too, if you look at play-by-play guys across all sports,
yeah,
a lot of us don't have this big social media presence. It's not like, you know, we can just post about everything recreationally that we're doing all the time. There's a certain sort of line to toe, and I try to walk up to it and maybe cross it at times and get 209 tattoos and things like that. But for the most part, a play-by-play guy, you know, you're kind of supposed to sort of fall in a little bit of a circle.
You
know?
You ever think about getting tatted up? Start wearing more Affliction. Yeah, yeah. Back it out, dude.
Come out looking like Adam Levine did at the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah,
take your shirt off, and it looks like somebody like
Whole contact sheet.
Yeah, the contact
sheet. Yeah. You got the tattoo. Yeah,
those are just examples, sir. Now give me the whole thing.
Give me the whole fucking
thing. I want it all at once.
I want every Sailor Jerry tat you got. I want it all. I'm starting with Anchor. Go to fucking rum. Like,
it's.
I'm just saying, so you could increase your shit. Maybe just walk up on the street. Homeless people fighting, you start announcing it on Instagram.
I like that.
Kind of like Bob Menery.
Now, bum fights, they got shut down, though.
They did. But I'm saying, fucking start it up again.
We'll make it two separate companies. One company will start the fight, and he will just happen to be there announcing the fight.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that way there's some separation. It's like a shell company.
See, I think the best thing I could do would be to wear the mustache. See, I have a mustache like you when I'm home in Florida, but I don't wear it on the broadcast. And
Are you not allowed? Is it like the Yankees?
You got a peacock, baby. You got to get, like, come out there wearing a fucking Dolomite hat or some shit.
I mean, I couldn't have a beard as thick as Dan's for sure.
Well, no, I can't either. Not many people can do
that. But for me, I could grow that very quickly, unfortunately, right? But no, I have to trim it down. Like, the beard has to be groomed. And I think a mustache is a little bit of a, not in your case, sir, but a little bit as a play-by-play guy of like, hey, look at me. All of a sudden, I got a fucking mustache after the new year, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little bit.
You know what they call it in Hollywood?
What's that?
Mustache acting. So it's like, hey, if you walk in with a mustache for the role, it's like, hey, you're doing too much. Can we stop with the mustache acting? That's what they told Clay on Lethal Weapon. They told him he couldn't have a mustache. They were like, hey, man, what the fuck's the deal with the mustache? And he was like, I thought it would be cool for this character. And they're like, yeah, we're not a big fan of mustache acting, so could you get rid of it? And he lied and said yes, and then they shot the pilot, and they were like, what the fuck? And everybody loved it. But
right.
I get it, though, because if you had a stash, it would be overwhelming, but you'd be famous as shit.
Well, it would sit right. It'd be like, oh, there's that UFC guy with the mustache. Man, he looks like a, you know.
He looks like a dick,
a sweet nickname for you, Anik at the Disco. You know, and it's
that's
just
pretty
like,
good.
Oh,
that's pretty good. But I mean, I don't know about you guys and the way you grew up, but my dad had it's amazing that mustaches in the 1980s were omnipresent and acceptable, and now somehow in 2020, you'd have to get permission to wear
one. You have
on
to register as a sex offender, I believe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
If you grow a mustache like that.
Therein lies the rub.
Yeah. When we got here, I had to go door to door to every room in the hotel and then say, hi, my name is Ross.
My name is Ross.
Sex offender.
I've got a mustache. I'm
2559.
Yeah.
If you come close, please, you know. I have to put my dick in an ice, one of those ice chests, you know. An ice bucket, man. Just so they know, like, hey, he's not going to get hard trying to attack someone.
Do you ever go on Rogan's Fight Companion show with Schaub and those guys?
He invited me. I have yet to be in LA to go on, but I can't wait to be in studio with that guy. I'm hoping it happens.
That's one thing that might boost your
power. Yes, overnight.
A couple of people watch Joe Rogan's show.
Yeah, right. But I think in my position, it would
people haven't heard you live, except unless the people that listen to your podcast, but they haven't heard you. They've heard you do play by play, but they haven't heard you. You know what I mean?
Well,
you're
a cool motherfucker. Yeah, I appreciate that. You guys know me on a personal level.
Yeah,
I think it would be easy for me, given my access and friendship with Joe, to be like, hey, man, next time we have a UFC pay per view in Anaheim, would love to come in studio or whatever. But I don't know. I guess just for me, that's never been my style. And I wouldn't say that I'm an introvert per se, because I don't think you go as far down this path as I've gone if you're an introvert, but I don't know, man. I just I kind of like to lay back in the cut, I guess.
Yeah. Well, here's what you can do, though. You got a twin brother.
I do.
And our buddies,
identical or fraternal?
Identical.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Just like, so
it's trippy. He's got hair like down to his shoulder.
You know Marcus Luttrell, right? From Lone Survivor. So he's got a twin, Morgan.
Right.
And Morgan doesn't really go in public anymore because he gets mistaken for Marcus all the time. So you can just do that. You could fuck your brother's whole life up, dude.
No doubt.
I got a crazy story about an identical twin. You remember Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah.
He had an identical twin. So when the movie exploded, they used to do these club bookings for celebrities, and it was very lucrative, right? All you'd have to do is go show up at a club or an opening or something for like 4 hours. And they would literally set a timer on the table. As soon as that was over, you could leave or you could stay and party.
Right.
And they give you bottle service and all that shit. Well, he was getting 15 grand a pop after Napoleon Dynamite. Well, the problem was he was booking movies, and he was like, shit, I got to go do these movies, but wow, I want this money. So he was sending his identical twin to these club openings. He did it for a full year and a half before an Us Weekly popped up when he was shooting a movie with Dane Cook, Employee of the Month.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were like, oh, hey, spotted in Albuquerque, New Mexico. One of the club owners was like, hey, man, you were in New York last night. Like, how are you filming in Albuquerque, New Mexico? And he's like, red eye, you know.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. You don't
so they had, to, they had to shut that down. And then Gallagher, obviously, is the most famous.
Yeah.
You remember Gallagher,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. He was,
that's a crazy
story.
He was
sending out his brother, and then his brother started to enjoy the fame, and he was like, no, fuck you. I'm Gallagher now.
How about that?
And then they had to split off. So it was Gallagher 1, Gallagher 2, and then they were touring around.
Did they just like take one of the L's out?
No. Yeah, right. They had to go by 1 and 2 Roman numerals. Like, it became a whole fucking thing, dude.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Wait for that 30
for 30.
Went out
like that, though, right? I mean, with that. See, my twin brother was the performer our whole life. You know, he was majored in musical theater, and so it's sort of weird that I'm, because I never had any. I just wanted to.
Is he straight?
I think so. Yeah, he's married.
You
with
said
two.
He's
no,
got
he
long
is.
Hair, so yeah. It's hard to
no,
say.
No, he is married with two beautiful daughters. But yeah, no, it's the identical twin thing's interesting to have another human being that sounds like you, thinks like you, looks like you. It's.
Are you familiar with quantum entanglement?
No.
Oh, this is
this
great.
Guy. Remember how smart you were last time? It's like you call me smart. I'm like, bro.
Well,
I ain't
you
that
are.
Smart.
You fucking. You're the way your brain works. I read your fucking like little Rain Man note cards. And that's, I'm like, holy shit, dude. Because it's like almost a shorthand at this point.
Right.
I mean, you've been
right.
doing it for a long right. time. Right. But still, it's like the way your brain works is impressive. At any rate, quantum entanglement is a principle that says if two atoms come into contact with each other at any point, then they can speak to each other, communicate to each other instantaneously over any amount of space. So the speed of light is no longer a thing with them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you guys were made from the same material.
Right.
So that, I think there's got to be, because this twin intuition shit, it's too common of a refrain over time.
Right. It
to
is.
Not, for there not to be something to it.
It is
right?
real. And we are true monozygotic twins, yeah. right? You yeah, probably yeah. know that word, right? So one placenta, I believe.
One zygote, like, yeah.
So, but no, I can't tell you how many times we text each other the same exact thing at the same exact time or call each other at the same time and can't get through. I mean, my mom would love to be a part of this conversation because
you should have her on the podcast.
Get her on the show.
Have your mom.
John, she's right behind this door. Hello, Mrs. Anik.
How funny would it be if your brother and mom walked in right now? How do you know my brother and mom? What is this?
Man, I know you
He's
guys
holding
are
a big lighter up. His brother's holding a hot pan from the stove. And it's like, whoa, twin. Twins. Oh, my wife's biggest fear is twins in suits, like twin kids in suits holding hands.
I
swear to God, that's her
that.
Biggest fear.
Is it because yeah. of The Shining or whatever the fuck?
I think she saw
those two
it
little
too
girls.
Early. Yeah, yeah, but they've got to be holding hands, fingers intertwined, and that is always her biggest fear. And it's only I've only seen it once.
That's an irrational little. Fear, I believe. Like, that's,
is it?
Yeah, because what the fucker? I mean, do you remember the Halloween thing that Black Rifle did? I think it was
yes.
2018.
I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
Where Evan's walking down the hall and it's that little thing on the bike and he just kicks the shit out of it. Like, get the fuck out of here. It's a toy.
Yeah.
These horror movies?
It's from Saw, by the way.
Is it Saw?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was like a little one.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what it is. Come on, man. I say we get Anik on Anik, horror movie, Blumhouse, and then see what happens, right?
Instead
of, but we'll have some fighting element to it, like the ultimate cuck fighting. So it's just two, you know, dudes, wives. Obviously a cuck is
yes
when you want to
right
you know
like
your wife
that recently
by somebody
yep.
else
like,
right
like Justin Trudeau for example
exactly perfect example of a cuck so
have you seen
nudity?
Him recently by the way
I read something
did
but
you
no,
see
did
like
not.
He grew a beard and he looks like an even bigger pussy than he did before he had the beard come on man get your shit together
he's definitely like on our cuck candidates in the world he's number
he's
one probably
up,
where
yeah.
it's like yeah.
yeah
but yeah we have nudity violence sex you guys call the sexual, you know,
yeah.
activity as
Great.
It happens.
Well, and that's been that's
somebody
been
has
done.
To, somebody
on
has
a
to kill someone.
That's been done on a podcast before.
It has, yes. Or is on episode 100. I've announced that.
Well, we haven't murdered
Do
anybody.
You know that?
No.
Oh, shit. Dude, I announced two strangers having sex live on air.
I did know that. I just have a lot of resin on my brain.
I sent that demo to Dana, and I never heard anything back from Dana White. And I was like, hey, if Rogan retires, you need another man in there to call it. I've called two people fucking for 2.5 hours straight. Yeah.
I mean, you sent it on Betamax. That was kind of weird.
Well, the other thing, too, is because we're actually in a hotel room. So no lie, this is how it was. We put the chairs around the bed. It was four of us. And then as they're fucking, I had to go in like this. And I'm just right. I mean, literally 6-8 inches from them. Yeah. And then I'm announcing them fucking and what they're going through. And it's one of the craziest.
Where is this audio on the podcast? I can access
episode
it.
Episode 100.
Okay.
And everybody, like millions and millions of downloads.
Oh, I'm sure.
But my wife had, she used to edit all these shows. And she had to edit that show and she was not stoked.
Oh, I can't imagine. She is capable editor and host. And,
she's a talented lady.
I'm telling you.
She's a talented little lady.
I tell you though, in terms of lady, it just made me, the only regret I really have in terms of the twin thing is that, you know, at some point when we were single and, you know, that we didn't go to one of these twin conventions and try to maximize that, if you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
where just twins
fetish?
Converge. No, it's just, no, it's not even that there's four of us in the room. It's just that people are fascinated by twins. Like,
right.
And so then you, when you have a bunch of twins together, you know, I think that would have been something that in our formative years we would have enjoyed.
Yeah, that would have been great. You never tag team like the same girl or
anything?
No. Damn it.
No.
That's just such a waste of being an identical twin.
Well, right. That's sort of what I was getting at.
I would go back to your wives, respectively, and say, hey, there's one thing that's a bucket list thing.
Real quick, honey.
Yeah. Like, because when you're older, nobody's going to give a shit.
Right.
You know? Right now, you're in your prime.
Yeah.
Like, you're a good looking dude right now.
Right.
I think if you're going to do it, it's probably in the next five
too.
To 10, right?
I think this audio will probably help in terms of convincing my wife that this is a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to give me your number?
Yeah.
I'll get her on the horn right now and talk her through
this. Oh, her number.
Yeah.
Yes. 203.
Who you got Saturday night? McGregs.
So I got the call, so I will not give you a prediction. I'll tell you this.
Fucker,
Conor McGregor.
You did this last time.
Well, it's right. It's that sort of like the first rule of being a play-by-play announcer in sports when you're not calling.
He's not a pundit,
right?
Okay.
So Connor's minus 320 as the betting favorite. Donald Cowboy Cerrone is the plus 260 underdog.
Really?
Right?
He's minus 320?
Yeah. It's 3-1.
So Connor hasn't done a whole lot of losing. If you look at his UFC body of work and the circumstances at times that he's been up against, whether it was a partially torn ACL going into the Chad Mendes fight or not an optimal training camp, he's more often than not won. And as great as Donald Cowboy Cerrone is, coming up on his record 34th UFC fight, which is just insane, he's lost 10 times in the UFC, right?
Yeah.
So I do believe McGregor deserves the distinction as the betting favorite. Maybe, Dan, to your point, it's a little wider in terms of the betting line
It's a little wider because Conor hasn't won a fight since 2016, right?
Well, that would make you think it would be narrower, that the odds would be tighter because Conor wouldn't deserve that respect.
That's what
right?
I would think, right? Yeah. But clearly that's not the case.
Right. I think that Conor McGregor just commands a certain amount of action and respect, and of course they're just trying to command two-way action,
course,
as you guys know.
Yeah.
And if they're,
I mean,
they're trying
to bait people into betting, of course.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people see Cerrone as a live underdog, and I just think it's going to be interesting to see how he approaches the fight because he doesn't necessarily want to mix it up, even though that would appear to be the path of least resistance, to try to wrestle a little bit early and to grapple potentially and try to extend McGregor. He wants to outstrike Conor and prove that maybe he's a better kickboxer.
Well, he better stay away from that left hand because, I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
see,
how many people? I was watching all of Conor's knockouts last night. I'm like, I know he is a great fighter, and his punching accuracy might be the best we've seen in modern UFC, like the accuracy of his knockout punches, his best punch is so accurate. Like, I don't know how he even does it, to be honest.
One of the greatest singular weapons in the history of mixed martial arts, right? We talk all about the antics and the superstardom and everything else, and not enough about that singular weapon and how much money it has made him.
Oh,
it's crazy. And, like, the bodies hit the floor, right? I mean, you guys know guys who have dad strength or natural power. I mean, there's
strength.
There's no denying that dude's natural power. And
yeah, because it doesn't look like he's really loading up, but he's got some wiry ass strength in him.
He also manages distance and understands range as well as anybody in the game, and that's been certainly a staple of his career and his success. And the power's carried up too, right? I mean, you all remember him not dropping Jose Aldo in 13 seconds at featherweight. Yeah. This is a welterweight fight. He dropped Nate Diaz several times at welterweight, you know, so I think he deserves to be the favorite, but we'll see with Cerrone, right? Like, people say, oh, Cerrone's chin, you know, lost a couple to close out 2019. Fighting at 70 instead of 55, if you're Cerrone, that helps your chin in theory, right?
Yep.
And he hasn't fought since September, which also helps Cerrone. He's been fighting every couple months for years, for almost a decade. So maybe 3 or 4 months off will serve Cerrone well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm amped about it. I'm going all in on McGregor. One of our sponsors is mybookie.com/drinkingbros. Doubles your deposit all the way to $1,000. Go there, because I get a grand on McGregor. 3-1, the odds are shit.
Yeah.
But since we're going to be there in the arena, daddy's got to like to
gotta
have a little skin in that game. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm sitting next to your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you guys didn't ask me for my tickets. They're still available. Sometimes I save them for big shows like this, for people who are really worthy and for people who don't want to sit on the floor. Like,
well, we're not worthy of anything, really. I mean, we do.
We're two pieces of
shit. Yeah, we are walking human garbage. So it's
yeah. I mean, we're a step above just actual fucking frogs. I mean, at this point,
are you growing your hair out? Is that what we're doing? Or
well, you know about the summer of Swayze, obviously.
Yes, of course.
That happened. I cut that off. And then now it's just out of laziness, where it's just like, all right, cool, what are we doing? Because it's winter, right?
Yeah.
A lot of knit caps, a lot of traveling. We were at Army-Navy game.
Right, I saw that.
It was about 4 degrees for that.
Yeah, fucking sucks.
And
it's the worst.
Now we're into, you know, kind of the let's get back in shape, holidays are over type bullshit. Let's have a mustache.
Yep.
Because that's a fun thing.
It is.
And then get ready for spring, and then I'll shave it up then. But luckily, my wife doesn't give a shit. Like, yeah, she actually prefers the mustache.
I love it.
So she was the one who was just like, hey, why don't you grow the mustache again? And I was like, oh, really?
How great is that?
She's into daddies. She wants him to look older. I think she's probably going to...
She wants me to look like Kurt Russell.
Like, she's gonna wait for him to fall asleep one night and just dye the bottom part of his hairline gray.
You don't have a single gray hair over there, huh?
No, it's crazy, right?
I went straight past gray to white. It went black to fucking white.
Oh, really? Is that how you shave it?
Yeah, I'm going to shave it again before the fucking broadcast. Fucking white wiffle, dude. Terrible. Fucking terrible. You're laughing. It really is terrible. Like,
did you gray early?
Yeah. My mom was like fully gray at 27 or something crazy. Ooh.
What do you look like with hair?
Not great, Dan.
I'm going to find a picture.
I'll show you a picture of my twin brother with a bunch of hair
if I can find it.
But he probably has a hat on.
Fucking long hair
guy. I don't know.
Because you've got thick hair. I can see it, dude.
Oh, yeah, man. You got to fucking wax the back and everything.
Terrible. The whole thing?
Yep.
No way.
Yeah.
My God, man. That's just time consuming.
Depending on the esthetician, Ross.
Ah,
but
really?
You know, some of them, I mean, those Romanian women, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they don't care. They'll smear it right on there and rip your skin right the fuck off, dude. They don't care.
On your scalp?
No, your back.
My back.
You get their ball bag.
No.
Back.
My back.
Not his bag.
Right.
Hearing a lot of things today. The first one was bag, and I was like,
can you imagine if I got my scalp waxed?
Here's the thing, though. I don't think it would work. I shave it. I shave up my balls. Do you?
I do.
Yeah. So here's the trick. We had a few porn stars on, more than a few on this show.
Yeah.
What they said was, hey, man, you gotta dip it in cold. You got to dip your balls in cold water first.
And then pull it taut.
Yes. So it shrinks up. Yeah. So that way there's very little surface area. So that way it cuts it down, and then you're able to shave up after that. I thought you were talking about waxing, because I've got some buddies who wax it up, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, no way. But they'll go nostrils.
Yeah. I'll get the nose waxed.
Yeah. How is
that? It feels like they're pulling your nose off your face.
Mm.
Not pleasant.
No.
But certainly gets the job done. The other thing too is, like, if I wasn't on television, I probably wouldn't fucking wax my nose. But for the maintenance, just easier to just have them just.
Yeah.
Just clean it out. You know. I mean, I didn't. What else do you need to know?
Because I'll take a two of my pubes, trimmer wise. And then I'll shave up the nuts and gooch probably twice a year. I'll go once every 6 months.
Yeah.
Just to keep it. I'm not a hairy guy anyways. I don't have any arm hair.
Right.
I don't have one single chest hair. Nothing. Born like that. God-given, obviously. Right. Very prince-like.
Yeah, it really is prince-like.
Yeah, very, very prince-like. So down there is just like a normal, like, hey, man, you know, there's a little salad left over. Like, yeah. It's a side salad. It's not, I didn't order a cob.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like a garden salad.
Yeah. They're not presenting the pepper cracker with that salad. It's just a little something on the side, like a little veg.
Right.
So yeah, that's only twice a year on a two. And then I'll ball bag it up, you know, twice a year, and then dip it in the sink, cold water, and, you know, usually use a straight razor.
I've got to trim up once a week.
Oof.
Probably.
It's just time consuming.
But what about the beard in terms of the maintenance?
Oh, man. It depends on what's going on or what time of year it is, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's if I don't give it a decent trim once a week, then it gets out of hand.
Yeah.
And I'll let it get out of hand sometimes. Sometimes it'll just be like.
Yeah. But, God damn it, man. Now, I get none of that. So, like, underneath here, no beard. I can't grow a beard. I can grow a thick mustache, zero beard. Like, there's nothing on the sides.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I always used to wish that I had that condition where you just had no hair.
Alopecia.
Head to toe. Yes.
Yeah.
I knew you'd know what it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that's, I think when you're in my boat, that's what you're wishing for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But, I'm right where I should be. Like I'm amped at the boat that I'm in, you know?
Yeah, you're in a good spot.
Because I will say this. I did get made fun of in high school. Like, dude, football team and all that shit. Of like, man, you don't have fucking chest hair. You don't have leg. I don't have any leg hair.
Right.
I don't have arm hair, nothing. And they were like, what the fuck, man? You swimmer? You fucking swimmer's body, you know? And I was like, no, dude. But, you know, as you start to have sex, all the girls are like, yo, I don't want any hair. And I was,
well,
I didn't realize how lucky I was until later on where I was like, oh shit. And then dude, my buddy has to get, like I said, chest wax back. All
yeah.
That
I don't
stuff.
Go down that chest wax path, but,
I just remember I've never even considered doing it, but if I did consider doing it, I think I would just watch, Steve Carell get his chest wax.
Yeah.
And be like, no.
Yeah. You're all checked out.
And
of
the 40-year-old virgin. Yeah. Remember that shit?
Yeah, of course.
Like,
of course.
I mean,
once you found out that that was real, I think that turned off about 80% of men, where they were just like, I'm not.
And I don't think I would want to be with a woman that didn't want a hairy chest, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because the type of women I attract, like, they like whatever is going, like the whatever
psychotic killers,
psychotic potential white supremacist.
Yeah.
Like, I've got the big beard and the fucking pasty white skin and the devil blue eyes.
You do have all
It's
of
just
them.
Like, oh, man. Minority people see me sometimes. It's like, I'm like, oh, I'm cool, man. It's all right. It's fine.
Man,
I'm with you. Because I've got that look. I look like I might be in a militia. You know
what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Speaking of killers, man, I love when you're on the show because we can talk about anything. It doesn't fucking matter. Dude, I watched, I had a few last night out of the old pipe and threw on that Hernandez doc.
Oh, God.
On Netflix last night.
Whew. I haven't seen it yet, but Brendan was talking about it today.
Buckle up, my man. It's a three-parter, and it's amazing how many people he murdered. Like it is more than...
It's all everybody's talking about.
I think you become emboldened after you get away. Like, those first two that he got away with, he was just like, fuck, I just kill whoever I want. Yeah. Fuck this.
Right.
Here's the thing.
It's like hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But when they show you, like, the murder of the guy that he got popped for and actually went to jail for, that guy,
it
was a mile away from his house. He threw the joint next to the body that he
and
was
smoking. And there's a security camera at his house showing him lead the guy away from the goddamn house.
Inside the house.
Yeah, like what
the
fuck,
dude? So they
have
him inside his own house, and they have all this footage. And he's got the gun right after he did it. The wife, they put the gun in a safe. She puts it in a fucking trash bag and is walking out with it. She goes up on the stand, and fucking her and the rest of his family, I don't know what dicking powers he had, but they were it was huge because none of them flipped. And they were just like, no, I don't remember that. They were like, we have you on video doing this. She was like, yep. She's taking out the trash. It's a perfect metal box. She's struggling to the gun case.
Yeah, and it's so weird. Like, no one thought to erase that footage.
Well, so he tried. And then he erased part of it, but not the rest of it. And they were like, hey, man, we have, like... everything you did that night inside your house and outside your house.
And there's a joint with your fucking saliva on it next
saliva,
to this
bubble
body
gum,
right here.
Bubble gum, like he was chewing bubble gum. And it got him going in and out of the convenience store. But here was the topper, the end all be all that I did not know about, that I was just like, yeah, fuck, dude. Is he rented a car from Enterprise, shot the dude, went home, got rid of the gun and all that shit, took the car back to Enterprise, The shell casings were still in the car. And they were on the floor. They're on the fucking floor.
What else can you say?
Jesus Christ. Well, he was a smart guy.
No. Not the opposite of whatever that is, obviously. But yeah, so long story short, this is who a female version of that is who Dan's going to end up
with. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I attract women who want to murder me.
Wow. That is real. Yeah. Because sure, yeah. You've got a couple of bruisers coming in tomorrow night, right? Yeah. I'd like for you to call that match tomorrow night. Yeah.
I might have
Ladies
to drop it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, like really get into it.
Bruiser, man. Bruiser. That's a great word. I might have to drop that on the pay-per-view tomorrow night.
You should. We got a couple of bruisers here on the
undercard. A couple of bruisers here.
He,
a couple of Holloways.
Any woman that I associate with in any kind of way. It's called a bruiser or a fucking Mack,
big rig.
Big rig.
Couple of big rigs.
Mack truck. I'm like, yeah. She's 5 foot tall and 110 pounds. He's like, big rig.
Now we got a big rig moving in.
My younger brother used to call my younger sister Tank, and it just fucking, to this day, you know? Can you imagine? You know?
No, I can't.
Women don't want to be called Tank, I'll tell you.
No, they don't like that at all. Speaking of women, Holly Holmes fighting again tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Are you?
Yeah, I want to just give you a quick 2 cents on that fight because your listeners may not know that this rematch was supposed to happen in October. And upon landing in Melbourne, Australia, Raquel Pennington found out that Holly Holm was not getting on the plane because she was injured. So Pennington has wanted this rematch back for 5 years. Holly Holm beat Raquel in what was Holly's UFC debut in 2015. So there's a lot of history there. You show up to Australia, Hayes in the barn, you don't get to fight. That adds extra emotion, period. So
yeah.
Raquel's excited to punch Holly in the face. And I think we're all still waiting for Holly. And this may sound crazy to you, but Kenny Florian talked about it on our podcast this week. We're all waiting to see that vintage Holly performance where she truly puts it all together and shows you all of her skills as the Women's Boxing Hall of Famer and everything else. Because nerves have been an issue. And
I think she
produced the greatest highlight in UFC history against Ronda Rousey doesn't mean she's maximized her utility in the octagon. I think she's like 6-5 or something in the UFC. She's close to 500 in the UFC.
I think she's done. Is that bad?
She's 38, right?
I think
this is her last fight. She loses tomorrow night and that's it.
It seems like, to me at least, that because I've watched all of her fights since she came to UFC. It seems like almost every fight, at least lately, she gets hyper-focused on one thing. Like, my goal in this fight is to accomplish this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to keep away from her left foot or whatever it is.
It's a good read by you.
You know what I mean? And it's like she gets locked in on that, and then she gets blindsided. Like, that's how she keeps losing, in my mind. It's weird for a fighter with her experience. You say it's nerves. What makes you say nerves?
Well, and this was just something that we spent a lot of time on this Monday, is when you see her demeanor, and people talk about UFC jitters for first timers, maybe second time, but eventually you get to a pretty good comfort zone where, not unlike television performance, you use those nerves to your advantage. Yeah. And I don't know, she just looks so unsettled to be in the octagon. And George St. Pierre would always say, he loved to train. He hated fight night and fight week and everything about it because of the nerves and everything else. And that didn't prevent him from becoming one of the greatest of all time. But I don't know. There's just a look in Holly's eyes that is unsettling to a lot of people at times. And when you know what she can do in the gym, maybe just surprised that she hasn't been able to show off all of those skills, fight in and fight out like many thought she would.
Yeah. I sadly think this is it for her tomorrow night.
That could be. I mean, I think that's probably a sharp take in some respects, right? I do think that not a lot of people are giving Raquel a chance, and they don't quite realize that even though she's not the striker and never will be that Holly is, she just has all the intangibles that you love in a fighter. She's meaner. She's nastier. Tough in the clinch. And very conditioned. And I'm interested to see what she can do. She wants this one in the worst way, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm amped for it. Who else are you amped about tomorrow night?
So there's one fight on the prelims on ESPN. Hopefully you guys will be in the building early enough to see it. But Andre Feely taking on Super Sadiq Youssef, right? This Nigerian kid, Sadiq Youssef. He's 3-0 in the UFC. But this dude is...
Was he in the Contender Series?
He was.
Yeah, I think we may have seen him.
So he's got a really interesting story, and I'll try to do it really quickly. But
we have all night.
Well, his older siblings are still in Nigeria. They didn't get visitation visas back in the day. So he came here with his mom. And Sadiq just became a U.S. citizen 3 weeks ago. But he's been sending shit to Nigeria to help his older siblings, who eventually are going to try to make it to the U.S. This dude sent his car filled with goods, alcohol, video games, so that his older siblings could set up a store in Nigeria. We sit down with him today. He tells us the store got robbed. You know, this dude's trying to win a $50,000 bonus Saturday night so that he can get his fucking siblings to the United States of America. And that's just not the reality for most of this roster. So it's very inspiring for us to sit down with this kid today and hear all of that. And he's fighting a kid in Andre Feely that a lot of people think has championship potential. So that jumps off the card. You got Anthony Showtime Pettis.
Pettis.
The pay-per-view opener. So.
You never know what's going to happen with that motherfucker. He might jump off the side of the octagon and kick somebody in the face, for example.
He very well might. No, and he's...
Can he get trucked ringside? I mean, just out cold? That would be... I mean...
I want it.
I know.
It would be so awesome.
Yeah. Like
you were saying before you love the gore, right? You like the blood.
I do love the blood, and I'm rooting for chaos largely, right? Like, it was obviously weird with Conor and Khabib, as we talked about, to go from calling the biggest fight in UFC history and the biggest fight of my life to calling a brawl was very weird, but we had an event in Mexico City where dudes are getting like pelted with beer bottles and stuff. Like, I want all of that. I want to get hit in the back of the head with a beer bottle. I want stitches like while I'm calling the fight. Like,
maybe we will swap our tickets, because if we can see you.
Yeah, I'll throw some.
We'll start pelting you with shit.
Do it.
Yeah. A lot of racial slurs, you know, that don't make sense. Where it's just like,
I'm Jewish.
You're like,
I'm
go not... back to your own country. You know, like... we're holding up Anne Frank signs. you know?
Where's your diary, bitch?
Yeah, we're Frank deniers. I'm just haunting you throughout the podcast.
I had a heckler at one of, because I, you know, it took me a while to sort of turn some of the fans on me. They don't like change. So I once did a show in Australia, and for 12 straight fights, every time I came back from doing a post-fight interview, this fucking guy would just give it to me in a quiet arena. You know, in Australia, we do the fights in the morning, right? I'm walking back after the post-fight interview, and this dude had a great seat, and man, go back to ESPN, motherfucker, like for 12 straight fights.
Really?
And I'll tell you right now, that was probably 2012. Our security detail is such now that that dude wouldn't have lasted nearly as long.
So he was like he was like Randy Quaid in Major League.
Exactly.
Like in center field, just shouting.
That's Randy Quaid in real life now.
It is, yeah. He lives right over there.
Yeah.
Like on the street. I mean, he's got a tent set up somewhere.
You can get your picture taken with him in a Cobra at 4 p.m. outside of Bellagio. We got some sponsors, a couple sponsors to pay for this fucking weird-ass shit to be on the air. First and foremost, talking about GhostBed.com/drinking bros. There's not one in the hotel currently, but we're having one shipped in. Dan's got a couple of bruisers, a couple of Jack Johnsons coming in tomorrow night, and he needs to be comfortable while he screws.
Look, if you're going to spend the money on a classy prostitute, spend the money on a classy fucking bed.
Goddamn right.
Don't look, it's a third of your life. Spend the money.
Yeah, spend the money. Right now, you can get a half off an adjustable base. And $200 off a fucking mattress. Jesus Christ. It's almost like they're giving shit away there. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. If you were a member of the military or a first responder, you get 15% off everything in the entire store forever until they go out of business, because these deals are fucking insane, dude. 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest. I don't even know if they check your credit score.
No, I think they just send a guy over, and he's like, he just looks at you, and he's like... Thumbs up.
Thumbs
he just
up.
Holds his thumb up, and they're like, give him the money.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah. Good. They also don't racial profile there, which is
no,
nice.
You could be any race.
Be any race you want. We've had some companies that call in and say, hey, man, we want to gear specifically toward a race. And we're like, we don't do that.
Yeah. We don't do that. It's weird that GhostBed's competitors are so racist. I don't know what their deal is.
I don't either.
We're not going to mention any of them for legal reasons, obviously, but we've received some weird phone calls.
We've had a lot of weird phone calls where it was just like, hey man, my boyfriend's black and this one mattress don't want it. And I'm like, fuck man. I don't just go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Get your black boyfriend a mattress so he can sleep in peace. Forget all the other racist bed owners. Next up, we got KillCliffCBD.com. Let's face it. If you're doing some ground and pound in the bedroom, you need a little CBD to get that wide on, the swelling down on the wide on. You know what I'm saying? You know what a wide on is?
I don't.
A wide on is a girl boner.
It's when it's the labia. They stretch out a little bit when they get excited.
Right.
And that's a medical term. That's not me just creating something.
I need to listen to you guys more.
Yeah. Get a real wide on and then put some CBD inside your body. You got to heal up. Dan, you've got a couple cases sitting on the floor here for those two bruisers that are coming in.
It promotes homeostasis. That's overall like neural health.
Oh, homeo, don't play that. Go to KillCliffCBD.com today. Promo code Drinker Bros, 20% off a case. Knocks that shit down to $3.99. It's cheaper than a can of Monster. Fuck, man. I forgot.
It also won't give you diabetes, which is what Monster
And it's free shipping. Free shipping at KillCliffCBD.com. Grape fucking, I still think they should have gone with Cereal Grapist is the name of it, but
alas, Cereal, they didn't. Cereal Grapist instead of Grapist.
Grapist of all time. Yeah. Cereal Grapist, you know?
Yeah.
And then Mango and Orange Kush. Go and fucking do it, dude. We're in the land of Chris Angel. He's probably fucking drinking Monster. Go to KillCliffCBD.com.
You don't want to end up like Chris Angel.
You don't. Promo code Drinker Bros, 20% off. Fuck, he's here. Sorry about that. Chris Angel, man. He's just a
you never know.
Like, weird tricks. You know what I'm saying? Because I went inside. There was a picture of him in there, and then a VCR showed up, and I was like, why that? Why would you do a VCR in my room? Chris Angel doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Little known fact, though, and this is actually true. My wife and I put a Chris Angel on top of our Christmas tree every year with the Jesus thing, like where his arms are spread out.
Where his arms are spread out, you mean the cross?
Yeah. Yeah, the Jesus thing. He died for our magic.
No, that was the Easter Bunny. He died in a helicopter crash for our sins.
That's right. That's right. I always get those two mixed up, Chris Angel and the Easter Bunny.
Same guy, basically. I mean, they dress the same.
Same guy. They act the same.
I could see, look, if Chris Angel walked in the room right now in an Easter Bunny costume, who would be surprised by that?
I bet you could put the whole lamp inside of him.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a guess.
Yeah, like some people, you know the guys that can like get inside a really small box? Chris Angel can put a lot of things inside of him.
Yeah, in college, I used to get into a lot of small boxes.
There you
nailed
go.
It. Boom.
Too easy.
Way too easy. Favorite magicians you want to see fighting go?
Jeez, I would not need to. My daughter would kill me for not being able to reel off magicians. She fucking loves magic.
Really?
Yeah.
Does she watch all the YouTube videos?
No, she just likes to practice more than watch, I guess. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
You ever take her to the Magic Castle in L.A.?
No.
That's the jam, dude. We got to be invited. Yeah. And it's a real castle, and then you go underground, and they have the whole thing.
There's all kinds of shit in there.
It's great.
It's wild. It's fucking awesome. You got to take her there.
Yeah.
The one time I went is a weird story. This is where I'm just saying weird shit tonight. Neil Patrick Harris was there, but this was like pre How I Met Your Mother.
Pre-gay.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
He wasn't
like nobody knew, right? And so he was like practice, but he was an amazing magician. He was the one that was performing that night, and I was like,
wow,
what the fuck is going on here? Like, I thought it was some type of prank show, whatever. Turns out he's just super into all of it.
How about
like,
that?
He's like a crazy, sweet magician.
Yeah. We were talking about women fighting before we went on the air, and not to steer the conversation here, but our highest weight class for women is 145 pounds. And all three of us were expressing our appetite for seeing women at, like, even 205 pounds.
What is it in boxing? Like, who's out there? The female boxers, they got to be higher than 145.
Layla Ali was like 185 back in the day.
Okay, there you go. And I know Holly Holm won a boxing world title, at least won at 54. But I just think, could you imagine?
I would love to see
people would have for seeing light heavyweight women.
I'd love to see
MMA?
Two female linebackers get in there and fucking get weird.
Well, speaking of which, have you seen Rough and Rowdy?
Yes.
What about the bare knuckle boxing? I watched that for the first time with Paulie Maggiano. I watched that fight, and I was like, fuck it. It's I'll pay for it. It was awesome.
Yeah. So bare knuckle boxing. So I see a lot of guys like Joey Beltran and Jason Knight, these guys who have fought in the UFC who are still making big money and being able to compete. And for Joey Beltran to realize a world heavyweight championship in bare knuckle boxing, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I understand why it's hard for people to watch without a little padding on that hand. I enjoy it for sure. I think it's interesting for coaches, right? When a fighter comes to you and says, hey, I'm going to do this without gloves or you
that's a whole other fucking ball game right there.
And the reason I bring up Rough and Rowdy is there is no weight classes there. I mean, it's just,
it's like original UFC.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just a free for all. So I think, if you had those type of women in there that big, but man, But see, you imagine the knockouts?
I want to see the knockouts.
I know.
Well, right. And that's sort of, I think, what we were all getting at. And I think the UFC in particular, very careful to avoid novelty acts and freak shows. You know, we've had a few circumstances where you had James Toney come in and fight Randy Couture and just get grounded and pounded. But I would like to see if we could ever develop women's depth somehow, some way, up in those weight classes. I just think
there's
got to
be some
wild
Eastern European women out there, some Russian women maybe.
No doubt.
Goddamn right.
Large.
Some lopped off dicks, dude. Now they've converted.
No, we're not. Well,
Cyborg could fight at 190.
Oh, well, right. Easily. Right. I guess she's probably the best example on why she's must-see TV.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
but she's
when
gone
she was
now.
In her prime, she is gone. She is out of the UFC.
Where did she go? Did she land at Bellator?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
But I can't be sure.
Yeah. You can't be. What's your thoughts on Greg Hardy?
So,
because you were talking about novelty acts earlier.
Yeah, so I love Greg Hardy.
He is not. We watched him. Well, I watched him the first fight he did at the Contender Series, I think.
Yeah, you and I did.
He knocked out that guy that was a lineman.
Austin Lane, I think it was,
For the Buccaneers or some shit back in the day. I don't remember who it was. Mm-hmm. But, man, he fucking knocked that dude out. Like, that's one of the best knockouts I've seen.
Greg Hardy's a bad motherfucker. He fought five times in the UFC in 2019, right? So let's respect the five training camps for starters and the fact that no other fighter, at least no other heavyweight, fought five times. I don't think anybody other than Greg Hardy fought five times in that calendar year. But, you know, I was always a Floyd Mayweather apologist because I would judge him on my personal encounters with him, which were always fantastic. And my interactions with Greg Hardy, I've done four or five fighter meetings with this guy, treats our staff like gold, right? And is just all in and is living at the fucking American Top Team dorms when he's in training camp. So
really?
I'm just judging him based upon those experiences. Obviously, he was a monster in the NFL. He was never the money guy on the D-line. He explained to us, like, as a Carolina Panther, he was never the guy making the money. So some years they'd ask him to play at 265. Other years they'd ask him to come at, like, 315.
Right.
Very interesting guy. And, you know, I'm not sure how high his ceiling is in MMA in terms of contention, but I'm excited to see him give it an effort.
Yeah, I mean, just to speak to his personal issues, obviously domestic violence is a problem.
Sure.
Right. But, like, we're in this cancel culture now where you do that thing, you do that one time and that's just it for you. Is that what we're like? I'm just putting the question out there. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, look, in the case of like Joe Mixon, right. He knocked that girl out and it was like a KFC or a fucking Subway.
Yeah.
Video went around, still got drafted first round. He's starting. Nobody's really said anything about it.
Right.
He didn't go through anything. Now, Ray Rice, on the other hand, gone, ruined his career. Can never come back. That was it.
Yeah.
Well, and Joe Mixon, too, he tweeted something after the Bengals played the Patriots to Tom Brady, right? Like, oh, I wish I had asked you for your jersey, man. I can't believe I shared the field with you. And Tom's like, I'll fucking send it to you, right? And so I wonder if somebody said to Tom, like, dude, I can't believe you're sporting that guy, you know?
I'm sure. I mean, Vince Vaughn talked to the president of the United States the other day and got lit the fuck up on Twitter.
Crushed.
And then Ellen, a couple of months ago, talked to George Bush at a fucking thing, and she got lit up.
Like, can you really? Dana's tight with Trump.
Yeah.
Like, can you spoke at the convention?
I don't see how, like, Vince, how do you go after people like Vince Vaughn and Ellen, though? Like, who are they causing trouble for?
Well, right.
Those two people specifically, who are they causing trouble for? They're like two of the nicest people in Hollywood.
Yeah. See, but when I call Greg Hardy fights, I get so many nasty, negative tweets, right? Like, people want me every time this dude walks to the octagon.
Greg Hardy,
and again, this audio is probably not going to sit well with a lot of people, but people want me every time that dude walks to the octagon to throw him under the bus and set up the entire legal process. That's almost what they're looking for. And it's not that we're brushing it under the rug, but it's not like we have all this time. The sport happens quickly. We're trying to keep the focus on the fighting and the good that he is doing. It's not that we completely have ignored it on broadcast, but people are very sensitive and in some respects rightfully so. But people got to chill. Dude's trying to, you know, maximize this second chance that the UFC gave him. And I work for the UFC and he's one of their fighters.
Sure.
I'm promoting him, period.
Yeah. I mean, look, like, what I don't know what we expect as a society, as a culture, out of people. Like, somebody fucks up, says I fucked up, and then tries to change their behavior. At what point do you stop talking about it? Like, is it the scarlet letter? Is it just forever? Like, I'm honestly, I'm not asking you guys. This is, I'm just asking our audience. Because a lot of people we've talked about Greg Hardy before, and a lot of people comment on YouTube or whatever it is, on social media, like, yeah, he's a fucking this or that. Like, yeah, I guess technically it's true, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm a fucking drug user. I've fucking
done a lot of things I'm not proud of in my life.
Right, you are a piece of shit.
I am, yeah, absolutely.
Like an actual human.
I am, but we've all done a lot of stuff we're not proud of. At what point, like how do you counterbalance the scales like for a situation like that? Because people take that specifically very seriously for the obvious reasons, as they should.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
It's tough, man. It's one of those things where you do something like that, it'll follow you around for the rest of your life, no matter what.
It's so fucked up that we're not even saying what he did. Have you noticed that? Like, we've been talking about it for 10 minutes, but we haven't actually... He beat the shit out of a woman.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
But it's so fucked up, even us talking about it and just in some ways, or just discussing it as a political issue or a societal issue, we're still not saying what it is.
It's still hard to talk about, man.
It
where
is, yeah.
You're just like, fuck, man. You don't want to keep... You also don't want to keep me personally jamming it in somebody's face over and over again.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, at what point have you repaid your debt or you're, you know, contrite about something or whatever it is, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's the hardest part to me, where it's just like, all right, how many years ago was that now? 10?
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Has it happened recently?
Right, and I don't even know if he eventually was convicted. I don't believe he was, and obviously he has a side of things that I guess that's neither here nor there. But, you know, if he was a bad guy to us and blowing off our fighter meeting and being a dick, it's like people want that,
right?
Because it fits their narrative. And when he's been the opposite of that, and as I led with, treating our staff like gold, you know, it's hard to just continuously kick the guy when he's down.
Yeah.
So
you can imagine that whole conversation, too. It's like... So, like, a reporter asks you, like, or a fan or something, is Greg Hardy, how is he around? You're like, he's good. Oh, so you support fucking...
Right,
like,
exactly.
Just shut the fuck up, you stupid bitch.
You support wife beaters, dude?
Right,
is that what you do?
Yep.
He's like, bro, fuck off, man. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You support Trump? Huh? Your boss does. You get any of that?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
You
of
fucking course. MAGA boy. Look at you, little MAGA boy.
Well, right. Well, and I'll tell you guys, it was very exciting having the president of the United States
it
of America
awesome.
At Madison Square Garden.
He's
okay?
the he's
so,
great president.
So when, you know, they're doing background checks on the play-by-play guy, like, I'm in, you know?
Yeah.
Like, here's my information. So, yeah, it was great to have Trump in the building. And
did you meet him?
I did not. Unfortunately, he was sort of... Busy. It was blocked off to where I was. Yeah, a little busy watching the Octagon girls go around, you know. But no, I just feel, and I was happy that the crowd sort of didn't boo him out of the building. You know, I think it was mixed. There was some support there for sure. I think nobody really made a lot of noise because they were all filming him, you know, and making sure nobody probably saw them filming.
Well, they made a lot of noise at the national championship game when he walked out.
Yeah. Yeah, look,
he's probably more popular in Louisiana than he is in New York City.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, it's not liberal, so, you know.
Yeah.
That's his base, and that's what's going to happen there. Madison Square Garden's a different story. It's weird, because with UFC fights, and we can discuss this now, going back to the tickets, but, like, they're expensive. So it's a different type of crowd that goes to a UFC fight than you would expect, right? You would expect, like, fucking... overalls,
right.
No shirt, you
right.
know.
Like the like the WCW or WWE or some
100%.
Shit. 100%.
Yeah. But these ticket prices, good luck, man. It's all corporate, you know, because we go to these all the time. Mm-hmm. It's all corporate or like somebody who's got tickets or, you know, people who are in town like, hey, for the weekend and or somebody's one vacation a year. We see a lot of those, especially for Conor McGregor.
Right. Vegas is a different beast for us when Conor's not fighting, right? Because we are here 6 or 7 or 8 times a year.
Yeah.
But man, when we go to certain places outside of the U.S., like, it's just nuts. The tickets sell out immediately.
Yeah.
It's just, and I wonder sometimes, man, we go to San Antonio, Texas once every 5 years, like, why aren't the Spurs fans like banging this place out? Because I have such an appreciation for our live event that sometimes I wonder domestically why we haven't really gotten over that hump. But yeah, it's
close though.
Getting there.
Boxing is, I mean, it is on life support. There's just this much left. If it weren't for Wilder right now, I don't know that anybody would give a shit about boxing. Before we got on air, we talked about Canelo.
Yep.
When he lost to Mayweather, I mean, he got destroyed by Mayweather.
Right.
I checked out of Canelo as a fan, and I'm a huge boxing fan. I checked out of Canelo. I was all done with that. And especially after the Triple G fights, because I thought those were bullshit to me. I thought the outcomes were bullshit. I don't see that much in UFC.
Right.
One. Two, it's more exciting because there's blood flying around everywhere.
Yeah.
And like There's a good shot. I mean, that one of these fights tomorrow night, somebody will be unconscious on the floor for a good 5-10 minutes.
Somebody's going to get overeamed to get their whole face split open.
Yeah.
How about that visual?
That was, man. You called that over. That's fight. How crazy was that?
That
in
was
life?
One of the more. I think that might be the most brutal non bone break that I've seen.
Yeah, I think so for sure. Yeah. I mean, because you didn't expect that they would be able to fix that so well and so quickly. It looked like was going to look different
forever.
Like
2 weeks.
Yeah,
and there's a picture of him. There's just like a little line here. I'm like, oh wow. All
Some right. people were saying, oh, was it the seam on the glove maybe that cut? I think it was just a perfect punch and rearrange your face there a little bit. But yeah, to your point, right? Like I got into the combat sports world as a boxing radio guy, and mixed martial arts has largely ruined boxing for me.
Yeah.
Because not that I'm rooting for takedowns when I'm watching boxing, but our sport's crazy. Like we'll have probably someone twitching on the canvas. We'll have something crazy happen. There will be something controversial. This sport just truly has it all. Regardless of what I'm doing professionally, I'll watch every UFC pay-per-view as long as I live.
Yeah. You ever gotten blood on you?
Oh, yeah. I got a great picture to show you. Actually, Anthony Pettis. I mean, I've gotten blood on me dozens of times, but once I got literally this picture, you'll see, I got a shower of blood. I have a huge dollop, like bigger than a half dollar on my back. It was Anthony Pettis fighting Tony Ferguson. And
oh, that's a good
that
fight.
That I never felt. That
somebody's going to be bleeding in that fucking fight.
Yeah, you guys were there. I believe that was the same. And that was like nothing else before. It was like the blood was coming from behind me somehow. And so I saved the shirt. Still haven't washed it.
Get both of those
gonna
guys
try
to sign
get them
it.
Both yes. to sign it. Fuck and yeah. Frame it or give it away or something.
Put it in a shadow box and hang it. Over your bed, so your wife knows.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
she fucking hates that bloody shirt in the closet.
Does she really?
Get of course over she it. Does.
Get over it. That's what I do for a living.
I mean, you know,
the reason why you have this house. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. See my W-2?
Exactly. You want to meet my friend Greg Hardy? He's right in here. You keep talking. You're gonna get a little rap on the beak. A little rap on the beak. All right. Hang it up. Go to Hobby Lobby. Shadow box that shit while I'm gone, all right?
Oh, you've dropped a fucking Hobby Lobby. I love you.
Some lady was burning me down over making a domestic violence joke on Instagram the other day, and we've been talking about it all week.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm going to joke about everything, and you can get fucked if you don't like it.
No matter what you're doing these days, dead serious, no matter what you're doing these days, people will come after you. It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah.
Like, oh, you shouldn't have said that. I'm like, shut the fuck up,
yeah,
you dumb bitch. I'll say whatever the fuck I want.
Right. Well, right.
Go listen to somebody else.
I just think it's going to be interesting for me, God willing, as I get older and you get less tolerant. Like when my grandfather passed away, by the time he was about to go, and my mom hates when I tell the story, but my grandmother would walk in and be like, honey, you know, you want a sandwich or something? And he would just ignore her and he would look at us and smile like, I'm not fucking answering right now. And like, I just feel like as you get older, you get an attitude, you get a little bit less tolerant, and then the filter really comes down. Because I don't have much of a filter, but my professional setting is such that I have to be very not me at times, you know? Yeah. So I just feel like as I get older, like imagine being 55, 60, and someone's telling you like, oh, it's like, bro, I'm fucking 60 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going.
That's where I'm at. But we call it the drug, like that you start going into different drugs later on in life to sedate yourself a little more. Yeah. We're like, all right, cool, man. I'm going to wake up and probably have a Norco margarita, you know?
Otherwise, I'm not going to make
Norcos
it
in that blender
day.
And then start the day off like that. Like so that way you're bringing yourself down.
You have to ask yourself in the morning what kind of day I want to have. Do I want to get in 7 fights today? Is that what I want to do? Because this woman's going to piss me off.
Yeah.
And either I'm going to be on drugs or we're going to be in a fight.
Yeah.
Which one's it going to be? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it's got to be one of those two. There's no other option.
Because it's 60, your sex swing is put away. That's no longer
is that the
over
number?
The piano.
Yeah.
Right? It's not over the piano anymore. We're just like, hey, man, we're all done with the sex swing. Or you got to marry younger and then try to keep up with that.
I keep mine out in the garage because there's a drain in the floor.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, you got to drain out after something like that. Yeah. You don't want that all over the garage floor.
No, you know, I got tired of replacing carpet.
Yeah. Tommy Lee's got a sex swing in his house.
Of course he does.
Over the piano.
Of course he does. Yeah.
He married younger too. Well, isn't it weird that even with Pamela Anderson, it's just like,
how can
he go younger?
He couldn't marry. He couldn't marry older. I mean,
you could, I guess.
Oof.
Oof. It's that he's married that little Instagram girl.
Oh yeah, I saw
Brittany
that.
Brittany Ferlin, I think her name is. Yeah. Ugh. Smoke show. Look, that's. I think that's what you need to strive for.
Yeah. My second wife be younger. So
yes.
Yeah.
You gotta start thinking second wife at this point where you're like, all right, it's 60. Yeah. How am I going to keep from being a racist?
Right. The wheels just completely
A younger
fall
woman,
off.
Yeah, where you're just like, hey, all right, cool. This is what's going to happen.
But I do believe I'm very direct with my family, and they sort of feel like, oh, you're this nice guy, and then with us, you're a dick. And it's like, no, I'm just direct. It's the truth.
Yeah.
You know? And so I feel like as I get older, I'm maybe a little bit more direct, and my tone could be a little nicer with my family.
Any other sports you want to call?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Would you do the NFL? Because Booger McFarlane is fucking awful. I heard they're backing up the truck, by the way, over to ESPN for Tony Romo. $14 million is the rumor I'm hearing per year for Monday Night Football.
It's crazy. You wonder, like, how they quantify his value to them, right? Like, in terms of bringing back that $14 million. And I think they can easily justify that number for him. I think he's outstanding. But, man, that's a big number.
That's a huge number.
You know the weird thing about him, though? And this sounds crazy to say, but it is totally true. I didn't enjoy Tony Romo as a player, right?
Right.
His style of play, and sure. I thought he got nervous in the playoffs and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, wasn't a Romo fan. When he got in that booth, when he's in there, if there's a game on, because we have the NFL package and all that shit where every game is on, I'll pick out the game that he's calling just because I want to learn, and I feel more knowledgeable having heard him call a game. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I think it's the same way with Monday Night Football, right? These games are booked out so far in advance. You don't know who's going to be good or bad. And a lot of these
I think we had one. Wasn't there one where it was the Steelers and Jets or some shit this year?
Oh, there was a bunch. There was a Dolphins Steelers was one of them.
Yeah.
There was a Browns. Everybody thought the Browns were going to be a thing this year.
Right.
But if Tony Romo was calling that game, I would. I'd kick
well, that
right
tells
in
you all you
like,
need
right.
to know,
yes.
right? That he is worth that money for sure.
Weird, right?
For me, it's interesting. And again, I used to work for ESPN, then Fox, now ESPN. I think Troy Aikman is right there with him, but some people, he's not their cup of tea.
I like Troy.
You know,
Joe Buck naked though is a little much for me. But
Joe Buck, man, look, if we were handing out free murder passes, I'd probably murder him. I would put him and Tim McCarver. I would tie a big rock around both their necks.
Yeah.
Throw their ass into the ocean.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd go running for the rock necessarily, but no,
he's got a book out, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Who, Tim McCarver or
no,
Joe Buck?
Joe Buck, and it was sent to us. I think by like publicist or something. I'm like, hey, would you consider having it on the show? I was like, yeah, fuck it. I just came through. I read one of the chapters. I couldn't believe it. One of the chapters was about he's addicted to getting hair implants, like plugs.
Yeah.
And he got it, like, just kept doing it over and over again. And it started to ruin his family life and all this other shit.
Oh.
Addicted to getting hair. Like,
that's crazy.
Hair
that
implants.
Is plus. Insane. So. Here I am just shaving my head every chance I get.
Yeah, you've got a 2 o'clock shadow.
Well, that like I will never lose my hair, and I wish it, you know. But in terms of calling other sports, FS1 gave me an opportunity to call a national college football game in 2015.
Which one do you remember?
It was Arizona at Washington. So high profile coaches: Ooh, Chris Peterson, Rich Rodriguez, and
Peterson's got a new job.
Yeah,
it was 49-3 Washington. But dude, with that Husky Stadium backdrop with the boats coming up, I mean, it was for me, even an NFL guy, it was an incredible thing. But I would love to get a chance to call an NFL game. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But I certainly
is that in the
feel...
cards over at ESPN? Do they say, hey, man, do they ever sit you down and say, is there anything else you want to do?
Well, certainly at Fox, had we still been there, I was definitely on a trajectory where I'm hopeful that I would have gotten an NFL opportunity at some point in time. For me, it might be about trying to get some preseason games so I can at least get some repetitions. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I'm so just embedded with all of this UFC stuff and doing 25 or so of these a year that to even think about calling a football game. Like, dude, when FS1 had me do that game, I was freaking out. I've never been so nervous for an assignment in my life because I wasn't in a college football flow at all. But you fake it, right? You make sure you're ready to go. And I literally did not parent my kids that week. I locked myself in a room and did my charts and memorized those rosters. But when I got that assignment, I probably shouldn't admit this. I don't think I could have named a single player on Arizona or Washington. I mean, talk about not qualified, but you lean on your skills and you put in the work and just so natural for me calling football because I grew up watching it more than anything else, more than mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a lifelong martial artist. So it's much more natural for me calling the stick and ball sports.
Have you ever been paired up with somebody who didn't know what the fuck they were talking about? And you knew it.
you know, thankfully in the UFC, I've been pretty blessed. Certainly there were times back in the day where I'm looking to my left thinking like, oh my God,
you know, but, fuck did he just say?
Yeah.
But, I think what's interesting is just all these NFL guys, for the most part, they get the same broadcast partner for 17 weeks. And Joe Rogan obviously is a staple on pay-per-view. I work with him about 10 times a year, but I've worked with, I think, 15 different broadcast combinations in the UFC. Mm. And that's more than a lot of play-by-play guys will do their entire career. So,
it's, you know what? It's actually great practice, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Because if you're with the same person for all of this shit, then you start to lean on them. You know their tendencies.
Yep.
And then if you get called to do something else, you're fucked because, you know, somebody's going to jump in and step on you. And then I think that's really great practice for the future.
Yeah.
You're a young looking dude. You can hang in the business for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Right. This gig has really beat up my voice. Right. Doing these 7.5 hour broadcasts. You put in a couple video games, which are just terrible for your voice. And the international travel and everything. I don't know. I'm hopeful that I can call fights into my 60s. But I sitting here at 41. Like, I don't know. You know,
but if you look at Rogan, right, he's going on average 3 hours of podcast per day, then stand up on the weekends and then
a lot of vocals.
So it's one of those things. It's like a muscle. Your voice will get used to it. Now, the video game thing is interesting. I'd like to chat about that for a second because we were talking about it before we got on air. Now, that if you did that every day would absolutely destroy your voice.
Yeah, that's hell. I did 92 hours solo for EA Sports UFC 3 and wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy. You know, it's just a lot of repetition
back?
And I don't know. I might.
Really?
I might. Is that no, bad? I mean, it's obviously it's thrilling to be a part of something that's going to withstand the test of time and everything else. But it is just such a daunting task. And when you're doing high intensity stuff for a fight that's playing out in front of you, I think maybe you're using your diaphragm more properly and you're just broadcasting more naturally. Mm. When you're doing high intensity stuff for a video game, it's like you're just sitting there by yourself, veins popping out of your neck. I just feel like you're running the risk of not using your voice properly and doing damage. But you're right. I think the Rogan point is a salient one, and that encourages me. But I don't know. I don't know how long I am for all the international travel with the three kids and everything else, but we'll see.
Maybe travel's brutal, isn't it?
Maybe they should put you in a pen with like a cougar or something, and it's chasing you around.
Oh.
That'll get you in the fucking atmosphere where you need to be using your correct. You'll just be shrieking the whole time.
I think it's a simulation like that would probably.
Over and over again, yeah. I mean, because you look at like an Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Right.
How do you do that for 40 years?
Yeah.
We did a gig with Jack.
Shit, 40. He's in his fifth decade now of
50 years
being a performer.
Yeah. So we did a gig with Jack, his son, and they were doing what the fuck was it called? Rock the something in Jacksonville, right? So we got to go backstage and see, you know, the warm ups and the things.
Right.
And when you're that close to him and you hear him going through that, my God, man, I just looked at him. And I was like, stop.
Right.
Just go sleep. Like, go to sleep it off, you know?
Yeah.
But he loves it, obviously.
Yeah. That's clearly what he loves to do is perform.
Yes.
Because otherwise, why in the fuck would he put himself through all that shit?
But he's got it timed down. Like, because I was literally 2 feet next to him during the whole performance. He's literally got it timed down to where in between gaps and breaths, like he's spitting, drinking water. He's got some form of something that he's wiping across his thing. And you're not blow, obviously, but like a Vicks Vapor Rub or something. You're just like, oh my God, dude. It was like a boxer just trying to get
whatever
through
it takes, man.
And I'm like, why are you? All I kept thinking was, why are you doing this to yourself?
Well, you guys perform, and a lot of people in my family say, oh, you know, you would miss the performance. Like, well, I don't know, you know, but probably, maybe, you know,
yeah.
I think so.
There's been some times like we'll do some gigs in like LA, try to stack celebrities and things like that, just because mainstream, you know, you never know who's going to respond to what audience wise. And I think we did 9 shows in 1 day. And then I did 7 the next day. So I did 16 in 2 days. And after that week, I was like, I'm good. I never want to do this again. Flew back from LA. And, you know, it was like 48 hours later. It was like, great. When's the next show?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
That's what happens.
Yeah. You get the itch. No, I get it.
Yeah. I want to talk about your podcast.
Yeah, no, it's good. Every Monday, you know, Anakin Florian Podcast, we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary. So I wish I had more time to devote to it. You know, I'm sure I could lean on Dan in terms of a lot of the things that I could do to maximize it. Just hired a video producer. We're trying to do more content on Instagram, cutting up all the content and all that stuff.
YouTube,
but for me, it's like it just is like even a week like this, right? It's hard for me to, you know, prioritize that show every Monday. I mean, I certainly devote my whole Monday to it, but it's like, dude, I'm calling the pay-per-view this weekend, you know? So it's like, even there's some crossover
there. Do you know how interesting it would be for people to listen to a podcast and hear you talk through your preparation for all this every week?
Yeah.
That would be, and you're just doing your job, but you're letting people listen to you do your job. That would be very compelling. I would listen to that.
Yeah.
Well, because a lot of people don't understand the preparation it takes going into calling any live sporting event.
Right.
It's crazy because if you miss something, people don't forget. Like Booger McFarlane, that guy gets fucking destroyed.
He doesn't prepare for anything, dude.
It seems like it, but we probably know that that's not true. He probably does prepare. But, you know, that's a lot of air time to fill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Booger McFarlane and...
The preparation, right? That's all. My anxiety is all rooted in the preparation. I think I said that to you guys last time. The anxiety is really, at this point, not in the performance. It's about all the work that I have to do to get to fight night. And I think for a lot of people in the business, maybe their preparation deviates from show to show. I, for the most part, put in the identical number of hours for every show and for every fighter, from J.J. Aldrich to Conor. And I just feel like if you just... keep that part of it in check, then the rest hopefully will take care of itself. But I mean, I've made mistakes. This guy Corey Anderson, one of the best light heavyweights in the world. We did a phone call and something got lost in translation, so I thought he had a 2-year-old son and another on the way.
Yeah.
So the guy wins the fight. I'm like, oh, going home to his 2-year-old son, and he had no kids. So he's got women and people in his past reaching out like, wait, you got a fucking kid now? And so I got a high profile fighter reaching out to me, being like, bro. Like, my kid's going to be born in 2 months. I don't have a 2-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
So
that reminds me of this really. I saw a good idea for a prank recently. And basically what you do is you write, I'm pregnant, call me, and put it on your friend's car.
Yeah.
To see what happens.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. We have another sick buddy who just throws earrings.
That's me.
Oh, is that you?
That is me. I do that all the time.
Fucking dirtbag.
I buy earrings from like Goodwill and shit. Like we go into Goodwill and buy stupid wardrobe clothes and stuff all the time. But I'll buy women's jewelry and I'll just like if I see an open car window sometimes, I'll just like toss one earring in there.
That was Charlie Classic. Yeah, because I mean look, if you find an earring or a lipstick in there, like which has happened all the time.
Yeah.
You're like, oh god damn it.
I may have ruined some lives.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's awful.
No, but if you're a woman out there and you found some weird like old piece of jewelry in your husband's car, it's probably me.
Yeah.
I probably did that. And
props from the Titanic.
Yeah, my bad on that one. I was bored. I don't know what to tell you.
Bruce Buffer.
Yeah, one of my best friends in the world. Actually,
is it really?
Yeah.
Why doesn't he have a fucking podcast?
He does. He actually has a podcast that predates the fucking Joe Rogan Experience.
Oh, come on.
And he's still doing it.
It is such a minor cornerstone of what he does that it's you know, I don't know that he devotes as much time to that as his other endeavors.
Did he ever think he would be bigger than his brother Michael?
He would be
because he is now.
Really flattered to hear you say that, right?
But what is Michael Cole now? And Michael's one of the greatest of all time. You know, obviously everybody knows. Let's get ready to rumble, like that.
Right,
that's,
right.
And then Bruce is. What's his big catchphrase?
It's time.
It's time. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
He'll probably sue me for saying it.
Is
he like Trump?
He's bigger though.
With the you're fired thing? Did he
trademark?
Oh,
it?
They have made a lot of money on Let's Get Ready to Rumble and It's Time from people. You know, Bruce manages Michael's career and has
I did not
for
know
years.
That.
Yeah.
No shit. So, Let's Get Ready to Rumble was trademarks like I mean, from the get-go.
If you read about trademark law in textbooks, you'll come across Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
But no, it's been incredible for me to watch Bruce rise because I tweeted like 10 years ago, Bruce Buffer greater than Michael Buffer. And people were just all over that tweet, good and bad. There was just such mass opinion on that topic. And I've always thought that Bruce just brought so much more to a live event. I mean, Let's Get Ready to Rumble is obviously iconic. All respect to Michael, but Bruce is such an integral part of our live event experience. His energy sells tickets. Yeah. Like this dude in Brazil is a legitimate B-list celebrity on billboards, you know, ad campaigns.
Like, is he single?
Very much so.
Oh, does he enjoy the fruits of his labor?
Yeah, he...
overseas?
Yes, he's done pretty well over the years.
Yeah, I bet he's not tapping out at the end of the night.
No, and man, any number of suitors. I mean, this dude walks into an arena in Brazil, and the fans, they go bananas, you know.
I wonder how many times do you think he said that catchphrase in bed?
Right,
right before he, right before he comes, he says, "It's time,
it's
bam.
Time," and then it, boom, you're in it, you know.
Because if even if the woman knew him and knew what he was all about, knew that thing, if he yelled that in the same voice right before she would be so shocked that she wouldn't be able to react. She's like, "What? What?
It's time,
stuff hitting her face.
If you put Michael on FaceTime, so right before they have sex, right. Let's get ready to rumble. Then they bone, and then right as he pulls out, it's time. Oh, God. The ultimate buffer experience across the board.
Dude, you're going to give him a business idea with this buffer experience. But it's time is so applicable, so much more applicable than let's get ready to. I mean, it's time to brush your teeth, right? I pitched in these children's books. Like, it's time. Yeah, he has struck gold for sure, and we're lucky to have him. I'll be having dinner with him Saturday night after the fights.
Good. It's great. Where do you guys go to celebrate?
So it really depends. Seafood? It's just a caloric binge. It'll be 4,000 plus calories. I don't know what it'll be exactly, but I will gorge myself.
Fit into
these tiny suits and then just...
Yeah, let it all go.
Yeah. So,
God damn it.
Good for you.
I love it.
But it's not always Vegas, right? So sometimes we get off the air in Wichita, Kansas. And,
oof. You had to go to the... go to the fucking Olive Garden or something.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Joe's strangle bait and shot. We strangle bait and then we give you fresh salmon.
We have a dolphin farm in Nebraska. You can beat your own. So you walk in and it's an aquarium, big aquarium, right? And you get a baseball bat when you walk in. You just beat your own dolphin to death and then they carve it up for you right there.
Yeah. How about that? Because you can eat it raw.
Yeah.
You can eat it raw. It goes on
this rice. This is sushi grade dolphin.
Yeah. Very high grade dolphin meat. Only the finest. Now's the point in the show we get to the revolutionary. No, that is not right.
Wrong
that
show,
is my other show. I've done a lot of shows this week. We just landed in Vegas. Drinking Bro of the Week. This is somebody who's inspired you and helped you in your career. You chatted about somebody last time, and I believe it was your brother. Is there anybody else you want to?
Well, there's a lot of people. I do want to say I appreciate you guys reaching out, and it's certainly a highlight of me to come spend a couple hours with you guys here during fight week. You know, I don't think that anybody who's had any modicum of success in life gets there without a lot of help and
tons,
luck, if you want to call it that, whatever else. But two guys for me, Anthony Pepe and Kieran Portley, but the first guy to give me a chance on radio and the first guy to give me a chance on television, because I just want to be a radio guy. Mm-hmm. I want to be 190 pounds without any cameras in my face.
Yeah.
I was at ESPN Radio, and they were auditioning some radio people for TV, and Kieran Portley, I auditioned. He thought I had Tourette's syndrome because I had like a twitch on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still something that I battle to this day, trying to keep my body quiet. But those two men, without them seeing something in me, like none of this shit happens. So
is the twitch because of nerves or excitement?
No, it's I don't know that it's anything. It's just that I move a lot when I talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for me to sit still.
Dan has the opposite of that.
You're very stoic.
I'm dead inside. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's he looks it's a lot like Mount Rushmore. It just doesn't move. It's just a face that doesn't move.
Have you ever called sports either, you guys?
No.
I mean, other than the intercourse, I had to have done something.
I had to call a bodybuilding contest. It was one of my very first gigs in LA in Redondo Beach.
Oof.
And I thought going into it that it was gonna be sexy, hot women, bikinis, that whole shit. I learned very quickly how disgusting it was. I mean, people were chocolate, literally, chocolate,
right,
spray tans to the hilt.
And it smells.
It stinks so bad back there for the men and women.
Yeah.
The spray tans and the sweat, and then they're working out too, like last pumps and all that shit. And then the diuretics. So all the bathrooms smelled like fucking
stale urine.
Del Taco. it was awful.
Del Taco.
I had to call that and, you know, announce that and the people and all the shit. And that is as close as I've gotten to some form of a sporting event.
Yeah.
And I did not enjoy that.
Yeah.
Whereas I look at, like, let's take football, for example, right? There's so many commercial breaks that I think that would be a blast. Whereas if you're just going for 4 hours straight on something.
Or seven, in his case. Yeah.
No, football's a different beast for sure. It's like you blink, it's halftime, you get a 12-minute break. It's quick for sure.
Because I always look at Rogan versus Stern in that regard of like, all right, Stern's on for like 5 hours a day, technically. But with the commercial breaks and everything, he's probably on three.
Right.
And then you can always peek back at your notes or something you've written down. Whereas Rogan, you're just going for three and a half hours, whatever happens. Same with the, I feel like it's like that with the UFC where it's just like, all right, cool, man. If nobody gets knocked out, you're going to be there for 90 fucking hours calling this shit. And you've got to fill all that time.
Well, we had three title fights last December at UFC 245, and they all went into the 24th or 25th minute, right? Mm. So at the end of your night, you've already called 9 or 10 fights and got three title fights that give you almost an hour and a half of fighting. That's half a television broadcast in its entirety for an NFL game. So, that's been something to get used to. But I got to say, like you were talking off the air about the power of the live sporting event, mm-hmm. you know, in this day and age. And in my line of work, when you get a taste of calling a live sporting mm-hmm. event, to go back to a studio and sit behind a desk, as that at one point in my life, that was exciting. I want to be a sports center anchor. Now, sure. like I see that I don't want to go be a highlight machine sitting behind mm-hmm. a desk. I want to be out doing a live event. So I hope that in seeing that side of it didn't, you know, forever ruin the other side of it for me, you know, but it's very, very exciting.
Yeah. With us in the sports show on Wednesdays, I feel like one of the luckiest dudes on the planet because we get to go to the biggest mm-hmm. sporting events every 2 weeks anywhere and all sports where it's just like, all right, cool. I'm to the point now if I'm at home watching it, I'm pissed or it's not the same experience anymore because you walk into these arenas or stadiums and it's the energy in there. You can't replicate it and you can't tell anybody what it's like. And then sometimes magic happens, right? And you're like, oh my God, everything is exploding at once. You may not get that at any other sporting events where it's just like, ah, shit, man.
So what's your next trip?
We usually go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, March Madness.
March Madness Super Bowl.
It's coming up soon.
I get to go to the Masters a couple years ago, and I took my father. And that's a whole nother experience where I don't know if you've been.
No, I wish.
It is like my best description is this. It's probably what heaven looks like. Inside, where you drive into this weird shitty town. I'm from Georgia. He's from South Carolina. Mm. And you drive into Augusta, and it looks like a shithole. There's a fucking Hooters out there. John Daly's got a camper out, and he's signing girls' tits. And
there's
shit.
A military base real. Right down the street, which is never a good sign for a city. Unless it's San Diego. That's a pretty good one. Otherwise,
yeah, and so you're like, all right. And there's cars just lined up, and you're just parking, and you're like, well, I guess it's cool, you know? And then you go through the gates. And it is adult Disney World where you're just like, oh, my God, it's beautiful. Beers are like $3. Sandwiches are $2. You buy a chair for $40. And on the back of it, there's a slot for a business card. Now, with that chair, you get to keep it and take it home. It's like the Masters, that whole official thing, you know. You can hear the music in your head.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you pick whatever hole you want. Put your chair down. And it's an honor system where it's like, hey, no one will sit there. No one will push your chair out of the way. It'll be there all day. So you can go as early as you want when it opens at 6 a.m. and you can stay till the very last golfer finishes the final hole. You can stay for 12 hours if you wanted to.
Wow.
And it's beautiful. You could eat sunny side up eggs right off the greens. And I mean, it was one of those perfect experiences Man. Where you're like, shit, that's one thing that I would love to keep going back to. And then Super Bowls as well, where it's just, you know, everybody in the world is watching that.
Right.
Every single human on the planet is watching that and you're there.
Yes.
And everybody's like, oh, shit.
That's, see, I went to my first Super Bowl last February and you just nailed it. What I've been trying to sort of figure out what made it feel so special. And I think it is that's the epicenter of the, not just the sports world, but the world.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I can't believe you're there.
I mean, shit, this national championship game. You know how many people watched?
No, I didn't.
26 million.
26 million watched it. Man.
26 million people watch that fucking game. That's a lot.
It's a lot. And that's not even the highest for college football. No. But like, yeah, it's one of those things. Again, you start going to all of this and you kind of get addicted to it. And then once you are at a shitty event, you're like, oh, man, fuck, I wish I was at this other thing or whatever.
Well, I mean, let's be real. The Super Bowl this past year was kind of a shitty event.
It was.
It's the most boring goddamn game I've ever seen in my life.
Unless you're a Patriots fan in the building, right?
Correct. that's the truth.
But it's just so tense if you got a dog in the fight that the last thing
did
we were thinking
did you bet
about
on the
was
Rams?
The punting. Oh, heavy.
Because he always bets on the Yankees whenever they play the Red Sox to kind of double down because maybe my bad luck on betting will
buy. Sure. And if the Yanks win the World Series or the pennant, then you try to soften the blow a little bit. But no, every year since 97, I've been betting on the Yanks to win the American League pennant and the World Series.
Did you bet on the Red Sox to for cheating?
Oh, I know. Jeez, it's ugly. It's ugly. Man, how about
Manager's
those?
Gone.
I think this one's going to go deeper. I mean,
going. Dude, Beltran just got fired today.
You hear about Altuve with he's wearing like a buzzer in his shirt and shit like that?
I mean,
like, it's
I'm
weird.
Not sure. I think it's going to be worse for the Astros and the Red Sox, but we'll see. But I just, dude, the trash can banging, the details are just crazy. And then you think about these guys who, Altuve and Bregman, and just fucking, they're literally up to your knee and fucking best players in the game. It's hard not to just wonder.
And they've been going back and analyzing all over the place, right? From that, because the Yankees series went 7 games.
Right.
And it was a walk-off by Altuve against Chapman. Chapman throws 100. Every single pitch. But the ball that he hit out was an off-speed pitch, and he's all the way up to the line in the box. How do you know a guy that's throwing 100 every fucking pitch?
Right.
But magically you know to get to the top of the box to hit that pitch out of the park?
Look, I mean, stealing signs is part of the game, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just not with
using technology to help do that. Like banging trash cans around or on all that stuff, I don't have a problem with that. If you came across the sign legitimately, then you can use whatever. But if you've got like a little buzzer in your shirt and you hit a home run off a guy and you're warning the people at home plate not to rip your shirt open so the fucking umpire doesn't see it, that seems like, look, it's a gray area, a lot of this stuff with baseball and sign stealing, but that is a pretty black and white issue, I believe.
So, but when you start to talk about vacating championships, right? I mean, it's like you're not taking rings from these players. I mean, I guess you can require that they take banners down and things like that. But
well, you look at Reggie Bush; they took his Heisman Trophy away.
Yeah,
impossible.
Yeah,
I don't know how deep this is going to get, but this is a very, like, besides the strike,
I've
steroids.
94 was bad. I think this is going to be pretty bad too. It's interesting because the managers are getting 1 year suspensions. And the GMs and shit that are tied up in this stuff. What's going to happen to Altuve? Is he going to get a year suspension for that? Because I feel like he kind of should. Like, he's just as deep. AJ Hinch was just a pussy, right? Mm-hmm. He just didn't have the balls. He's a young coach, young manager. He didn't have the balls to go tell the guys, hey, knock this shit off. You're going to get caught. Like, he said, I was against it. I even broke the device they were using to do it. Yeah, but you're the manager. Just bench him.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Right. What the fuck are you talking about, dude? But anyways, he got a year suspension, and he wasn't even really involved in it. So Altuve was like balls deep in that shit.
Man, I don't know if they're gonna punish players.
I feel like he's gotta get if you're gonna punish the manager, I feel like you gotta go after the player too.
Right? I do believe though, at least when talking about the 2017 New York Yankees, right? That's tough, man. You know, I mean, it's like
CeCe Sabathia was so pissed.
That was his last chance. I mean, he never won a ring, right?
No.
So that would have been Cleveland. Well, he got close that year. He went over to Milwaukee. What was that, 2012?
Yeah.
They made the
he's NLCS. Shuttled around to contender to contender. But
anyways, he never won one, and that's a big reason why I think that 2017 Yankees team definitely had a shot to win the World Series.
And then lastly, like I think that's why a lot of people were getting driven to UFC. Is sports like baseball are changing, where the last baseball game I went to was a Cleveland Indians game this last summer. A friend of mine was up there at the Cleveland Mayo Clinic in cancer treatments. We took him to a game, and we sat behind home plate. We always get great tickets for all this stuff. The netting went over our heads all the way back, so all the lower level seats were completely netted, top to front.
Right.
And I'm like, I felt kind of caged in, where I was just like, these foul balls are just going above you, and then just kind of. Just resting there for a little bit, you know?
Yeah. It kind of feels like you're at one of those old country bars where the band is separated by chain link fence.
Yeah, Roadhouse. Like that's for the blind guy, so he doesn't get a beer smashed in his face. I'm a fan. Like, I used to go as a kid for foul balls and all that stuff. And, like, it felt weird. Like, I was in a bubble. Whereas the UFC, when you're there, I mean, Jesus Christ, man. At any moment, especially the Khabib fight, like,
crazy.
At any moment,
yeah,
they get off the cage. And it feels awesome.
For people who are reticent to embrace the UFC, I just come to a live event, right?
Yeah.
I just come to one live event, and it's because for me as a boxing journalist, it wasn't until I went to my first live MMA event in 2007 in fucking Tunica, Mississippi, and saw the sport live. I was like, man, holy shit, you know. And I've been all in ever since. You know?
I'm all in on Tunica. I got a one bedroom there. If you want to,
nice.
Want to timeshare it with me? Let me know.
Yeah, I'm in.
Bring the wife and kids up there.
My first wife.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Or the second, you know.
Yeah, well,
do whatever you want. Who is your second wife, by the way, celebrity wise? Who are you going with?
I don't know, man. I mean, I've always loved Jennifer Lopez, but
really,
know, yeah.
Going older, huh?
Yeah. She's married to a Yankee, bro. How can you even say that?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't necessarily gravitate towards older women, but she was the first name that came to mind. But I do like ethnic women and black women, Asian women.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, honey? Right, honey?
I'm going Casey Musgraves these days.
What about Casey Anthony?
Love to, but you couldn't tell your buddies, obviously.
Why not?
It's one of those things where like you're not going to take Casey. Can you imagine
going? You meet back up with some friends. You go to your high school reunion.
Oh, you haven't seen them in 10 years. Yeah. And you bring in Casey Anthony.
And, no, you don't like
second wife,
and she's pregnant.
Yeah, 20-year reunion.
Yeah.
I say we ended on a Casey Anthony joke.
Yeah, let's do it,
John. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Boys.
Looking forward to tomorrow night's McGregor versus Cowboy. Saddle up, partner. Saddle up, little cowboy. Has anybody ever said that to you during press this week? Saddle up, cowboy. Thanks for stopping by. It's probably your last time here. Dan Holloway. I'm Ross Patterson. We're the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.